Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. That sound courtesy of NBC and the NFL on NBC last night. Not great. Jalen Carter spitting on Dak Prescott. Immediate ejection. We do have Jason Pinkston coming up in about 20 minutes. We got quick hits coming up at 3:40. More on your predictions on the Browns as we get you ready for Sunday with the Bengals. But I will tell you, that made for a very – it immediately kickstarted social media Twitter – or sorry, a sports Twitter – in a way that was wild, because there's really no like two sides of it. It was just one sided. Give him 3 games. Give him 100 games. He should never play again. It was a lot of reaction to Jalen Carter.
Yeah, but I felt like after the first initial reaction, I think then there was where I end up on this, which I was like, I thought people went a little bit too hard on the paint.
I agree with you. I think last night justice was served. He spat on Dak Prescott. He got ejected.
Missed the whole game.
I don't know why he would deserve anything other. And I think when he does, because I think he will get suspended further than that.
He'll get a fine probably. I really don't think he's going to get an actual game or anything.
I think it would be wild if the NFL. I think it'd be really wild if the NFL is giving 15-yard penalties for taunting, for guys flexing a bicep around another player, to then only give Jalen Carter the ejection, and that counts as one game suspension.
Well, so think about it. Like, we've seen this before, and honestly, Nathan had jogged my memory in the morning, because Nathan said the wrong player, though. Nathan Cannon Lima in the morning had said it was Marlon Humphrey in a situation with Jarvis Landry a few years ago. It was not Marlon Humphrey. Immediately, I was like, it's Marcus Peters. I'm like yelling at the radio. I'm like, it's Marcus Peters.
Marcus Peters was a known spitter.
Yep. Marcus Peters was the spitter. And so, like, what ended up happening, though, was I believe it was like a $12,000-$13,000 fine, and life moved on.
Now, that was back in 2020, back when $12,000 really meant $30,000. You got to
adjust for inflation.
Yeah.
So we're getting like a $20,000 fine for him?
Some are saying $100,000.
Maybe. Like, and I'm okay. Hit him in the pocketbook, whatever way you want. But like, to miss games for this just seems a little bit much for me.
I think justice was served. So if they just let time served in a fine, I really will be fine. I just am going to be furious then the first time you flag the Browns for taunting on Sunday, and when you're doing this phony baloney crap about, oh, we got to fix sportsmanship in football, which no one cares about. I mean, literally, no, that's not. Old people care about it, and they'll be gone soon enough. I'm kidding, older people. That was a joke. All right, we're all on Guam together, Team Guam.
Yeah, Team Guam. Yeah.
But no, I think it's a really bad look if Jalen Carter gets ejected for one game and that's his punishment with a fine, when you've cracked down on sportsmanship. Because I will say, flexing over someone, about 1/1,000,000th of the disrespect of spitting on someone.
Well, it's definitely way more disrespectful. I'm trying to figure out, so like obviously I'm sure your brain went to where my brain went to with Robbie Alomar on the umpire.
Yeah, and some are saying the umpire deserved it.
And I think that was Hirschbeck, right? I think it was Hirschbeck.
Yeah.
And so the whole point, though, is that when I think about Robbie Alomar, one of the first things I think about is that moment. That moment stayed with him in a way that I think for a lot of people across baseball, even when he was like inducted in the Hall of Fame, there were so many different people that was just all you do is just bring up that moment in time. I don't think this is staying with Jalen Carter.
Well,
I think this is the type of thing that he's had so many other things pop up in his life. Maybe it just overtakes it.
I was going to say, the first thing I think about when I think about Jalen Carter is reckless driving.
Yeah, and the idea that then half of the NFL decided we don't want to even put you on our draft board.
Yeah, who could have honestly been the second or third pick
easily,
in that draft?
Easily. He had the talent, and it's bared out, by the way, in the NFL. He's an incredibly talented player, and there was enough teams to be like, nope, can't do it, can't draft him.
Now, I will say, when we then got the second spitter where Dak Prescott is spitting in the general vicinity of Jalen Carter.
He's spitting on the ground. Come on.
Well, No. My point was, I can understand if the counter defense from Jalen Carter is, I thought he was spitting at me. I think it's a little flimsy, but I at least understand his actions a little bit more.
Yeah, but here's where I think Dak Prescott just gets the benefit of the doubt, because since Dak's been in the NFL.
No reckless driving issues?
We did have one leading before the NFL.
Yeah, well, that was before
that
the
dropped
NFL.
Him to the fourth round.
Yeah,
that incident. But like, since he's been in the NFL, What have you heard about Dak Prescott in any sort of nefarious way?
Like, he's been, see a picture once.
He's been a consummate pro of him dating like the college girl. That was a thing for a little bit.
No, I don't want to describe it on air.
He started dating a college girl, and too many people were like, she's too young for you. And it's like, what do you want me to do with this?
You don't remember the one picture that came out?
With Dak?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, well, we don't need to talk about
it. Okay, you can show me in between the break. I don't think I want to be shown, actually.
No, it sounds like you want to be shown.
Like I don't want to be shown.
No,
that
we're not going to out-freak this freak, okay?
Mac, I'm going to need you to take over for the segment because...
If I type in Dak Prescott
I
photo
sure
on
would
my
not.
Laptop, is what's popping
I
up?
I sure would not. It'd pop just, on the old incognito.
Should I say rude?
I don't know. I mean, it seemed very charming.
Was it charming or chotch?
Well, it depends on... Whether you like the picture or not.
These are very nice photos of Dak Prescott that are popping up. Nothing nefarious is popping up at all.
I do love... You ever look for like a specific GIF or
bad,
meme?
Nothing bad's happening
And it's
here.
Like a heinous one. And then you're going through like, oh, that's, you know, a cupcake. That one's like Candyland, this, that. And then it's like a really just crap photo.
Seems like
that's
nice
kind of what I'm hoping for here.
Yeah, no, that's not happening for me. Right, but maybe it will between the break when we get more specific with the search. But
like, no.
He's earned the benefit of the doubt. Jalen Carter's given us nothing in his pro career to have earned the benefit of the doubt here.
I do think, like, how much do I really – okay. Do I wish to be spat upon? No. If it happens in real life, would it maybe be one of three things that at my age – well, I got it. Hey, guys, just so we're clear, I do not want to be spat upon. I'm one of those guys who doesn't like that.
Is that what Stack Photo was about?
Yeah. Well, I'm not doing it, okay?
No.
But I do think, like, I think there's a difference between something that happens on the field
mm-hmm. –
And something that happens if we were out here walking the beautiful hollowed streets of Crocker Park.
There's
got to
be a
difference. If you do it in real life, you're going to catch some hands, even from a pacifist like me. In a football game, like, I don't know. I honestly wouldn't have had a problem if he wasn't ejected.
Yeah, I just don't have an outrage
like
for
I
it.
Like, I can't fight for it.
I just don't have an outrage for it.
I can't be
it.
Like, oh, how dare you kick him out of the game. That had a real impact on the game. I also can't be like, I think that was absolutely the right thing. It's football. Things do happen.
Out of all the nasty things you hear happen during a football game and things that go on, I just can't get irate over this one.
Now, I will tell you, and we actually had this conversation yesterday about social media in general,
mm-hmm.
how everybody's a content creator now, so everybody's so quick with the content that 15 minutes in, you're just over it.
Yeah,
I've seen every angle, I've seen every joke, I've seen everything of it,
mm-hmm.
and they're all great, by the way.
They're funny.
It's very funny.
People online are very funny.
But I will tell you, when it comes to outrage, the takes on social media about it's got to be a 3-game suspension or a 4-game suspension, some of the dumb – listen, it's gross, all right? Mm-hmm. Jalen Carter doing that is not befitting of a professional athlete. And they were well within their right to kick him out, even though I don't know I felt that strongly about it. But I understand why they did it. Nope, I can't say that I have a problem with them kicking him out. The idea that there would be anything more than that, it's like we've got dudes who serve 6-game suspensions for spousal abuse allegations.
And not only 6-game suspensions, ones that get reduced down to 2 or 3 games. Are we going to put Jalen Carter in that same realm? Like, that just doesn't seem right.
And it's just at like... I don't know. Like, listen, am I probably out on sending a Christmas card to Jalen Carter? Yep.
Yeah, might not be somebody that you really can go to bat for in the future when it comes to being a model citizen and turning his life around and all that stuff. Even though, again, it's just spitting. It's not. I don't think you're an awful person for spitting on somebody. I would never do it, but in a football context, I just don't think you're an awful person.
I don't think it makes you a good person.
I don't think so either.
We're getting into a gray area here.
I don't think so either, but I also can't look at this and say, Jalen Carter, known bad guy based off of this. I could do it for other things, not for this.
No, but I think it's the cherry on top that the guy's a jackwagon.
And that's why he's not getting any benefit of the doubt. I think that's why so many people are rushing to be like, he's got to be suspended. This has to happen to him. He's got to be made an example of. And it's just if this happened to somebody else that was perceived to be a model citizen, I don't think the reaction would be the same. It's just we all know Jalen Carter's backstory, and we all know how talented he is, and so it's a perfect combination.
Now, I do think going forward, I think the NFL's in a tough spot because of what I said. Like I think if you don't suspend him, there are people who, especially when the Browns get that taunting penalty on Sunday.
I mean, if I'm the Players Association, I instantly appeal that, and then I try to fight as hard as I can because the precedent has already been set that this is a financial fine. This is not a game fine in addition to being kicked out immediately.
I think the time. I think when it happens. T.O.
did this like 15 years ago, and same thing happened to him that happened to Marcus Peters. It was just a fine.
I think it being the first game of the season matters. And one more, I think the fact that that game, for the rest of the game, was incredibly chippy. And I know those games are already intense. There was a lot of extracurriculars that happened in that game that I think 100% were fueled by the emotion of Jalen. And from both sides, by the way. The Eagles were clearly pissed that he got run for that, even if they thought it was gross too. And Cowboys fans, or the Cowboys players, were clearly incensed that that happened to their best player. So you can actually sell me the idea of all of the nonsense that happened, mm-hmm. the charged atmosphere, is because of the Jalen Carter part of this.
Well, and so there's one other element that, and I don't think this is why they should go hard.
Is it helium?
No, it's not. No.
It's a different element.
It's more the idea that this was a nationally televised game. It's not a good enough reason to say we have to make an example out of you because it's televised, but when it's televised, people remember these things because the whole world is watching.
No, I think absolutely being nationally televised does matter.
First game of the season, like legit first game of the season, you're going to have, when the numbers come out, there'll probably be 30 million people that were watching that game. It's Thursday Night Football. If you wanted to make an example, this would be the ideal time to do it. I don't love it for Jalen Carter,
I mean,
if it happens.
We've seen countless examples where if there's no video proof of something, or if there's limited video proof, or you don't have the right angles, or if you were in the least watched Browns game of the week with Spiro mm-hmm. Ditas,
yeah, things
and Adam Archuleta,
they just kind of go away.
They kind of go away. This can't be. And again, what is the NFL always about? The NFL is about the syntax on PR issues. What, nobody talked about the lightning. Very few people talked about the lightning thing first this morning. Very few people talked about the fact that the Cowboys damn near beat Eagles last year. It was
really,
all Jalen Carter.
Is this a PR issue, though? Like,
yes,
if
it
anything,
is.
No, I look at this and I'd be like, if you are just listening in wherever you're listening and you think to yourself, oh, somebody spit on somebody else, you're like, all right, football's back to what it used to be. I don't look at it. I don't look at it like.
Wait, was there like a higher
like
per capita spitting
like,
in the
90s? I don't think NFL has a spitting problem all of a sudden. I don't think the NFL looks.
Have they eradicated that out of the game?
If anything, the NFL looks soft if they go hard and they really.
Explain that
they
one.
Really penalize somebody for spitting on somebody else.
Show your work. I think there are going to be, no.
Because we've seen in past instances, they've just done fine.
But
kind of let this go.
This is where I actually will give social media the benefit of the doubt. The NFL's reaction should be tantamount to what the reaction was on social media. A majority of people last night thought it was one of the most egregious things they'd seen on the
field.
They
need to see more things.
Well, no, I personally don't disagree, but you don't want half the audience thinking, oh, they just don't care about us.
They ejected them. That to me, the ejection alone shows that they have a strong care about whether or not somebody spat in somebody else's face.
For me, yes, but you and I are on the lighter side of the spectrum. It's not going to take a lot to please us, whereas I think there's 90% of people who want blood. Maybe not the greatest turn of phrase there, but who want some pound of flesh for Jalen Carter. 216-474-0092. Neither JP or I think further discipline is necessary beyond a fine, but I think the NFL is in a hard spot because I think a lot of people are expecting that. Jason Pinkston, former Browns offensive lineman, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Jason Pinkston, former Browns offensive lineman, joins us now on The Fan Hotline. Pink, welcome back, buddy. Football's back.
Football Friday, baby. First one of the year. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Now, I should inform you, your old teammate, Joe Thomas, has already guaranteed a Bengals ass-whooping on Sunday. And one further, he said at least 8 wins. So if you're going to pander today, you really got to set the bar high, okay?
I can't go against the GOAT. I would have to agree with him 1,000%.
All right. 1,000%.
Yeah. But not even like
10,000%. One up and be like, they're going to win 41-7 and the Browns are winning 10 games this year. We wouldn't hate
that
either.
We wouldn't stop you.
That's the expectation. Anything below that is just not. It's not how we're gonna do about it for this year. I mean, we're gonna get to 10 wins.
All right, I love that. Now, give me your real prediction.
35-28 Browns. I love it. I love this game. I love playing the Bengals. We've seemed to, knock on wood, have our way with Joe Burrow. Big performance from the defense, as always. Myles Garrett, 2.5 sacks. I love Denzel Ward. A couple breakups, interception. I love it. I love it. It's the first one of the year. Anything can happen. I'm going with the Browns, as always. I can't go against those guys. I love them to death. I'm obviously a huge fan, but, you know, we own the Bengals. We have their number.
Is this the best game for Joe Flacco to steal that win?
This is a game that he can absolutely steal. First one of the year. You know, I watched the game last night with the Cowboys and the Eagles. I thought the Eagles were going to run over them a little bit more than what they did, but I thought that was a very winnable game for Dak. He just came up on a short end, but I like Joe Flacco at home.
So I do want to get, since you watched the game last night, obviously we were just talking about Jalen Carter getting ejected from the game for spitting on Dak Prescott. It seems like a fair amount of people, at least sports media fans of football, want more punishment for Jalen Carter. Do you think just an ejection is enough?
No, I you know what? There's no place in the game for that. He's absolutely warranted a suspension for himself. If it's a one-game or a two-game suspension, I think it's warranted for that. There's no place for it. You know, there's kids watching this game where we got to be professionals. And you know what? To me, I saw another video this morning. It looked like Dak spit at him first. Two wrongs don't make a right. But if the NFL is going to review the video, I think both of them just have a one-game suspension.
So in prior NFL history, we saw with T.O., he did that. He just got a fine in addition. We saw Marcus Peters on Jarvis Landry a few years ago. He just got a fine in addition. But I want you to speak to it because you played the game and you're in the trenches there. What makes spitting such an offense to players that are on the field?
It's just disrespectful. I mean, we're men here, you know, and if someone on the street, you know, spit on me or in a game, you know, that can cause a fight, you know, and someone could get really hurt. It's just, there's no place for it in the game. It's immature. You know, Jalen Carter has had some issues off the field in the past. And, you know, I think, you know, the NFL needs to come down on him and set an example.
Jason Pinkston on the fan hotline here with Nick and Jonathan. We are live from Crocker Park getting ready for Browns and Bengals on Sunday. So I know you're confident about this team. You're excited about this team. We love that. For you, where do you have the most faith on this roster that they're going to be able to go ahead and go over Vegas's win total, which is currently set at 5.5 wins?
I think you have to rely on our defense. You know, our defense, we have some guys that have been around, some great players on that side of the ball. You have to lean on them to carry us, to win us some games. And I think we can do that. And also, you know, we have some leadership. We have some offensive leaders on that side of the ball with, you know, Joe Flacco, Joel Petonio, and some other guys on the offensive line that's been around the game, been played it at a high level. We're going to have to win these games up front. And I think we have the guys capable to do so.
How excited are you to see Mason Graham in his debut? And you talk about that defensive line with Myles Garrett, obviously just ready to go on Sunday.
Very excited because he's going to have some opportunities to get some one-on-one pass rush. And, you know, when you got to win those matchups when you have one-on-one in the NFL, it's not often that you get that. You know, we know what Myles is going to do. You know, you can count on him to be there and show up and make his plays, and he's going to command a lot of respect from that offense. They're going to ID him wherever he's at on that football field, and they're going to be aware of him. It's going to open up some holes for some other guys that we need to take advantage of the opportunity.
Pink, so much of the optimism on offense comes back to the idea that the Browns are going back to Kevin's old offense, and that includes they brought in a Bill Callahan disciple to run the fits that they had run with the zone blocking scheme, including a heavy focus on run. How easy is, what goes into going from this run fit, you know, 2 years ago to running a different system up front last year to then coming back to the zone scheme this year?
We need to stick to our roots and what you know got us that playoff win. You know, we were running the ball well. We were play actioning well with our tight ends there. And you know what? I think we need to come out and find an identity of who we want to be for this year. What type of team do we want to be? I'm not looking for the gimmicks and gammicks and things like that. I want to see them run the ball, open up the pass, take a couple shots to the tight ends, and then we can hopefully, if we're running the ball successfully, we can open it up for Judy to hit him deep down the field. He's a ball player. He makes great plays. I'm very excited to see what he does this year. And it's nice that you have Joe Flacco, who's played in that offense and won in it, that, you know, we can rely on him and count on him and, you know, limit the turnovers and be successful.
How do you balance that offense that was right now it seems like it's being built for Joe Flacco, but also in the same sense also being built for Dylan Gabriel to eventually take over?
You know, I think there's a lot for those guys to learn from Joe Flacco. He's won a Super Bowl in Baltimore, obviously, and he's played at a very high success in this offense with Kevin Stefanski. So the more they can learn from him and, you know, be successful and, you know, they're not on the field, but those reps count of watching those guys that are out there playing so you don't make the same mistakes. And, you know, we saw positives from Shador and Daniels this offseason, and they both look good. At times they had their moments, but that's normal for rookie quarterbacks. And I think if they can just not make the crazy mistake and not try to do too much and play within the confines of the offense, they'll be okay.
All right, Pink. We've debated a lot on how long of a leash that Joe Flacco has. It seems like the Browns have gone from being very comfortable with getting Joe to play a lot of the season to it seems like there's a growing comfort with the idea that Dylan Gabriel could see the field early in the season. So much of this, though, is built on Kevin showing the locker room he's giving them a chance to win by starting Joe. How soon is too soon to pull the plug if you're Kevin Stefanski? Like, how soon, if he went from Joe Flacco to Dylan Gabriel, would like, endanger him losing the locker room?
You know, it's hard to say, you know, because we're not in those meetings with those guys and what's really, really going on. But I think they have a plan in place, and I think if Joe is successful and he's doing well, I think he'll be okay. I don't think there will be, if things go wrong, I don't think there will be any changes prior to the bye week. You know, typically that's when if things are going bad, you know, they change it around the bye week and they give another quarterback a chance. And I think that, you know, most programs, I should say, or organizations, they stick to that model. And I'm just hoping that we don't have to get there. God forbid injuries and things like that do happen. And you know, you might be the guy up, but, you know, hopefully it doesn't go that route and nothing happens before the bye week.
Does Stefanski and Barry make it through the end of the season?
I think so. Because I also believe that, you know, the Haslams, they had a say in last year and some of the things that went on. And I think they're just as much responsible, and I think they own that. And I think those guys are safe.
All right, let's go to DeJuan Jones. He's slimmed down a bit. Must be nice, but he slimmed down a bit, and he's going from right tackle to left tackle. When do you expect, assuming that this is going to be a transition that sticks, how long does it take to, if you've been a right tackle your whole career, to switch over to left side before you're comfortable and where all of a sudden it feels natural to play left tackle if you're DeJuan?
You know what? He's a professional, and I know he's played some left tackle. I don't think it's going to be much of a transition for him. He's a big, strong guy. As long as he's moving his feet and getting his hands on the defenders, I think he's going to be okay. He has a lot of upside. I'm excited to see what he does this year. Hopefully he can stay healthy and get a full season in, because he definitely can be a shutdown tackle for us.
The Bengals have a new guard, Fairchild. Now, a lot of people are worried about the Bengals' offensive line. We're obviously excited for the idea that the Bengals' offensive line stinks. But when you have a rookie left guard the way that they're going to, what can you do specifically to pinpoint that?
You throw a lot of different looks at him, see how much he really knows, see how confident he is. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Miles stand up over top of him and they run some kind of stunt. There's going to be a lot of stunts thrown at him, a lot of different looks at him. I mean, I started as a rookie. I was thankfully very blessed and very lucky to be in between Alex Mack and Joe Thomas. And, you know, I had those guys more so telling me what I was going to do and who I was blocking, which made it very easy for me. But, you know, everyone doesn't fall into that situation. And I think that you can, you know, you can really rattle a rookie in this league when you see a guy with the physique of Myles Garrett standing over top of you on third down 10 with the crowd and the dog pound going crazy. I like our matchup versus that offensive line.
All right, Pink, if the time comes in season, whether it's week 4, week 8, week 15, which quarterback do you want to see first, Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders?
I'm going to be honest. I really want to see Shedeur because I think that he's electric, and I think that he takes some chances. You know, he throws some very nice balls, and he does a good job when he's in there with some of the guys that know what they're doing, to say. But I would be excited to see Shedeur. But I'm excited to see Daniels as well. He's a very good quarterback. He can play. He's a good dude. I think he has a lot of good qualities and upside, and I think him being in Stefanski's offense, it's really going to help make him shine.
All right, now give us your real prediction for Sunday.
I'm sticking to it, 35-28 Browns. I love it. I love the Browns at home. Like I said, we've traditionally played very well versus Joe Burrow. I love the matchup between Denzel Ward and I can't think of his name now. Jamar Chase, yes. I love that matchup. It's always explosive. There's always fireworks. They compete. You know, that secondary is going to compete. I do like it. I hate how many points it's going to take, but, you know, Joe Burrow, he is a gunslinger, but I think that we can come out of here with a win.
Jason, great stuff, buddy. Happy to have you back on board. Have a couple adult Pepsis this weekend, and we'll catch up down the line.
I plan on it, boys. I just turned 38 today. It's gonna be a good day. I'm actually
happy birthday.
I'm on the golf course right now, so I'm trying to keep it quiet and keep and stay professional and not swear. So, but it's gonna be a good week for the Browns.
Well, this is the wrong show to not swear on. Jason, happy birthday, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Hit him straight.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Unless the hole's not straight, because sometimes you got the dog leg.
Sometimes you do.
You know what are we doing? That's bad advice.
Well,
if he follows it to a T, it's going to hurt him at some point.
Hitting a straight is never really – I mean, you can always make it work.
Sure.
I was going to get really golf technical on you there, but I was like, that's not –
You're going to golf snob me?
Yeah, I was not going to do that. That's I was fair. Like, yeah, we're just going to
let that go. I deserved it. Quick Hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world
go Angel, Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, we haven't talked about this nearly enough. Eagles edge rusher Nolan Smith made a great tackle at the line of scrimmage on Miles Sanders last night, and then he sort of flexed. He didn't fully flex. He didn't stand over him, but he sort of flexed.
Yeah.
And the Eagles win over the Cowboys, and he got a taunting flag, which extended the drive for the Dallas Cowboys. And that actually did lead to some points for Dallas. Did the NFL get it right?
No. I just think it's – I don't love it. Now, you're week one. You're trying to make an example out of people. I get what they're going for. I thought it was the wrong tune and wrong time.
They're going to throw games this weekend based off this dumb penalty.
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
They always do this, though. For like 4 weeks of the season, they go really hard at the new rule, and then they just stop.
But the problem is, usually there's a reason. Usually there's like a clear cut, like when they forced reviewing defensive pass interference on all of us,
yeah.
That was because of an egregious moment in the NFC title game that swung the Super Bowl matchup single-handedly. Made sense, was a gross overreaction, but we got it. I don't mind when that happens. There was no giant rise in taunting last year.
Yeah.
I know it might have slowly grown, and we've got teams like the Browns who embrace it, but I just think, like...
Oh, are the Browns responsible for why we don't have... or why we're doing
why the
this
NFL,
right now?
Doesn't want to have any
Jim
fun
Jim Schwartz
anymore.
Says, if you're not celebrating, what'd you even do on that play?
Not just in... by the way, there's a dog chain in front of us. I've now seen that. I might have to get that. Because here's the thing, I'm going to the high school game after this, and I'm going to embarrass some children after this one.
All you're going to do is embarrass your kids.
Yeah.
You're wearing a dog chain.
Yeah, maybe I might even tilt the hat sideways, walk in like Thug Life John Cena in 2004. The kids get that one.
UNC and Bill Belichick have banned Patriots staff from the program. One scout said NFL personnel are only able to watch 3 periods of practice at UNC. Each college program varies in access, obviously, to the NFL. Most of them just let you watch and do whatever you want. Belichick not only banning the Patriots, but also very limiting in other NFL teams.
Yeah, it's wild how wrong Bill is getting everything there.
this is part of his girlfriend's doing, I would imagine.
Why is it always her fault? Why can't he just be a little troll?
Well, so maybe that's the genius of her, is that she's almost shielding everything around Bill. We're just going to think of this as the Jordan Hudson era, that is, at UNC, and not really think about it in, like, Bill taking any responsibility for running this thing straight into the ground.
Ultimately, if Bill wins enough games,
what a spin,
this isn't going to be a big deal.
I'm mad if you play for UNC. Like, the idea there is you want to go play in the NFL, and now he's restricting teams and restricting access in general. That doesn't help anybody.
But it's just Bill being a petty bee, and there's just no need for it. I just, for a guy who really is such a football savant, he's just so crappy with people, and it's so annoying. And I get why Tom Brady's a little marshmallow of a man that just walks around with no personality and avocado for brains. Like, I get it. Because he dealt with that guy, putting your soul and your mind in a blender for 20 years. It's just not that hard to have a modicum of class. And Bill just doesn't. He's just a little hate troll.
He just stays missing at every component of this part of his life.
He stays miserable.
Yeah.
Which, if I had a 24-year-old smoke show girlfriend and was making $10 million a year, and I could just give away $10 million of property to keep her satiated.
Yeah.
Like, six Super Bowl wins. Like, if I lived Bill Belichick's life, guys, I don't. And I'm like the least bitter man in the world when it comes to stuff like this. I just don't get it. Like, grow up, Bill. Yeah, that felt good.
Omaha! Yeah,
take that, Belichick.
And get Jake Murren's name right.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons was speaking with the media yesterday. A big to-do. He was asked about the Packers-Lions rivalry now that he's a Green Bay Packer, and had some inflammatory things to say.
Bro, I'm excited to play them. You know, I never liked Detroit. I never liked them. Even when I was in Dallas, it was just always a heavyweight fight every time they came in. Trick plays are for people who can't beat you straight up. It's like a guy running around the ring all day trying to jab, but meet me in the middle. You know what I mean? Let's line it up. And I think that's what guys who try to do trick plays do. They can't beat you head up. They don't want to out-physical you. They don't want to be dominant. It's a scared tactic, I guess, but, you know, I can beat you any which way.
That's a wild one to say about the Lions, who are known to bite kneecaps, no?
It's just wild in general. You haven't even played a snap, and you're already trash talking them as if you've been in this back and forth for a million years.
Also, equating the Lions Cowboys matchup and alleged rivalry, which nobody knew existed, to the Packers Lions, which is 100 years old. I don't love it by Micah.
You know what? I'm gonna flip flop on this one. I kind of do
Did
like
you
it.
Talk to Bernie Kosar?
Yeah, no. I talked to Brian Sipe, and he told me, "Hey, Jonathan, you're off on this one. Mike is a little crazy, and you have to accept that he's a little crazy. He's also doing it for the podcast clicks as well. And so I think this is there's a lot to Micah Parsons that I just have to let. I just have to let him be himself and be a little crazy.
I just talked to Stipe Miocic.
Ooh. Yeah. Who was that again?
Omaha!
I got
nothing. Oh, what a save. What a save by Jax.
Glove stick in the save. We saved the show.
Well,
Stipe Miocic.
We did for a little bit. All right. NFL Red Zone will have just 4 15-second ads in week one. All this controversy about the ads taking over Red Zone. Oh, it's going to ruin the product. You have 4 15-second ads, and that's it.
Yeah, because they're definitely not going to grow that over time.
In a 7-hour time frame.
Yeah, Trojan horse me and act like
for
I'm not going to understand the bit.
You get 4 15-second ads, at least for the early part. Are we going to add on like a minute each week until people just accept that it's in their lives?
I've watched enough movies about cocaine. I know that the bump you take first ain't the bump you take 6 months in.
Yeah.
That is, money is cocaine to the NFL Network.
Narcos teach you that one?
A lot of shows. Blow,
Escobar,
with Johnny Depp,
anything, yeah.
Underrated movie.
I love that movie.
And Penelope Cruz is fantastic.
It's a great movie.
Very problematic, but awesome. That being said, no. Money is the NFL Network and ESPN's blow. I know the ESPN doesn't in charge of it yet, which every ESPN person is now making sure they say.
I'm so annoyed by that, by the way.
I'm just so annoyed at this.
I'm so annoyed by that.
At the defense. I mean, by the way, was it Ian Rappaport or was it Adam Schefter who just sent out a press release of like, well, you know, it is one every 75 million seconds. You're barely going to notice it. It's like, you work for them, Chet. We know you're going, like, oh, my God. But no, it's stupid. Because they're going to start with four ads.
Did we do this, though? Did we bully them into the idea? Because it's for a little, not me and you. I mean, like, the collective we. Did we bully them into the idea that if they try to give us just full-blown commercials and way too many of them, we are going to riot?
Yeah, no, the problem is we bullied them into doing this in a much slyer way that over time we're just going to be so normalized to it.
It's a split-box screen. I'm cool with it.
I'm telling you, when it's a permanent split box scene and it's just ads on a rolling basis on the right, you're going to feel different there. I thought you were supposed to be Truth Social over here.
Not Truth Social.
No, Turbo Truther.
You're an unbelievable human.
Truth, our truth. Cake
oh,
quick.
Now we don't have a button, Jax. Now we stay silent. Yeah, I see how that works.
Jax finally found the button. Good for him. In wake of allegations,
he upsets your calves, but he tries to rebound there. I see what's going on.
He said my calves were fine, and more than fine.
He said not bad.
I have three things that you can compliment me
JP
on this
JP got the
planet.
Not bad. JP that got the not bad.
I will throw you out a window, Jax.
Were my calves better than Nick's calves?
No, we established this yesterday.
He's so funny.
That would have been a turn of events, would it not? Promotions people, thumbs up or thumbs down? Is Nick's going to show you his calves?
Right there.
What do we think? Yeah. Well, I knew he'd give a thumbs up. Yeah. This guy's been that.
Yeah.
Come on. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Yeah, look at that.
They're just bullied by you. That's all. There's just a lot of pressure.
I didn't say a word.
There's a lot of pressure there.
They were bullied by the calves.
A lot of pressure. They see what happens.
They looked dead into the eyes of these calves, and they thought, I couldn't possibly deny them.
They saw what happened when Jack said, not bad.
They weren't there.
They heard.
Because you told them.
Yeah, I did.
All right, that's Quick Hits. When we come back, James Rapine, friend of the show, except today he's an enemy, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.